Let's go ahead and turn to the book of Acts tonight, chapter 1, the book of Acts, chapter 1. We're going to end our little series tonight of what we called Hooked, and we've gone over this for the last couple weeks here, and so we're going to finish this tonight. Let me turn there myself, and we're going to read verse number 1, and we're going to read down to verse number 8, and then we're going to see what God has for us here tonight. Verse number 1 of Acts chapter number 1. It says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theopompus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with him, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, as we continue to pray and go through your word, I pray that you just be glorified through everything that's said and done. We ask, Lord, that you would again speak to our hearts. Lord, again, remove the distractions that might be in here tonight, so that we can focus upon your word. Again, we pray for our young people this Wednesday night. Thank you, Lord, for the enthusiasm that has taken place with this. Thank you for the young people that you have provided us with to be able to fellowship with them and to be able to teach them the word of God. Lord, what a great responsibility and privilege that is. So God, tonight, again, I ask that you use me, and we ask in your name, amen. So we have come to the end of this short little series that I've called Being Hooked. We looked at filling the kingdom net about 3 to 4 weeks ago. And then last week, we looked at following Jesus. And tonight, we will look at where we are to follow him. There are four places that are mentioned in verse number 8. It's Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. When it comes to following Jesus, there is something inside of us that allows all of us to become timid, and I will explain here just a little bit. It is easy to become scared of getting out of our comfort zone. We get scared of those things. When God places something upon our heart to do something, we get scared, we get timid, we become shy with those things, and we tend to back off. And when we back off of those things, we're missing out on a tremendous blessing. Where God takes us is his business. Amen? It's his business, and what we need to do is trust in his judgment for his will in our life, because he has the greatest desire for us to serve him, and he always wants what's best for us. But during those times, it is very easy for all of us to come up with excuses. And as soon as I use the word excuses, I automatically begin to think of Donna and Doyle Terry. Some of you folks don't know who they are, but I remember when they used to come here years ago, they used to sing this song, "Excuses, Excuses." We hear them every day. And those excuses keep us from doing the will of God. Do you remember years ago, Pastor would use an illustration that just took place when he was out in Seattle, Washington. And as he began to invite people to get on the bus, or as he began to invite them to come to church, there's one particular man said that he would not go because he has to stay home to take care of some things. And so Pastor began to ask him, "What do you got to stay home for?" He goes, "I got to stay home and swat the flies that come in the house." Excuses. You hear the lamest excuses, but we all come up with them. Many men and women miss out on being used by God because of the excuses that we allow to come in our life. Even the disciples had some difficulty at times in following Jesus. It wasn't always a bed of roses for them. They came upon some very difficult times in their life. And I believe that they even thought, as we thought at times, why are we even doing this? And even after his crucifixion, time began to become harder for them. They were even scared, I believe. But it is written in God's word that they forsook him. You can find that in the book of Matthew chapter number 26, verse 56. Go ahead and let's turn here so we can see that for ourselves. Matthew chapter 26, and we'll read in verse number 56. It says this here. It says, "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then what's it say here towards the end? It says, "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." See, being a believer, as I said this morning, is not easy. There's great difficulty that is involved here. And when that difficulty comes in, we allow excuses to come into our lives, and we allow them to dictate what we are going to do and how we are going to make our decisions here. Even Peter, as I said this morning, even Peter denied Jesus. There is a great difficulty, and there's great discouragement when it comes to following Jesus. If we're to stick it out, we will see some of the greatest rewards that will come from it. Please excuse me, I'm having trouble today with my throat getting very dry. And so as I drink, just say a little silent prayer that I swallow it right. You know, it's very nerve-wracking when I'm drinking and everybody's just as quiet as can be. I'm afraid Jordan's got me up so loud there, everybody's going to hear me gulp. I'm struggling with that today. But there's great difficulties. There's great discouragement at times when it comes to following Jesus. But you and I, as we continue to follow him, as we continue to seek his will, even with those difficulties, even with that great time of discouragement, you and I, we should try to stick it out to the best of our abilities. And let me say this. Let me be an encouragement to you, because those times come up quite often. Can I encourage you, instead of dwelling on the difficulty, instead of dwelling on the discouragement that you might be facing that day, can I encourage you, just as I said this morning, to bow the knee? Go to God and begin to pray to him and begin to ask him that God will give you the strength, that God will give you the boldness to do and face the things that you need to face in your life that day. Amen? Following Jesus doesn't always mean that he is going to take us on the mission field. And that's what a lot of people think. A lot of people think, well, if I got to follow Jesus, then I got to follow him all the way to Africa, or I'm going to have to follow him to China, or I'm going to have to follow him to Australia. That's not necessarily the case. Does God want to use you? Yes, God wants to use you, but it's not always going on a mission field. But however, there is a field that we need to consider ourselves, and that is our own home field that God has allowed us to be a part of. Amen? We have a town that needs Jesus Christ. And so he wants us to think of our own town here, as it says here in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, verse number 8. It says, let me get here again because my place just got lost. It says this here, it says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." God wants us to follow regardless where he leads us. Amen? And then as we get to that point, we need to have a willing heart to follow him. In verse number 8 of this text, the apostles were given a mission, and that mission was to spread the gospel. You know, we have a tremendous responsibility to spread God's word. But unfortunately, we leave it up to many other individuals instead of doing that ourselves. We have a great responsibility to help Jesus Christ spread the gospel. They were given specific instructions on where to go, and that first place was mentioned was Jerusalem, their hometown that they are in, Judea, Samaria, the surrounding communities that were around these areas. Never lose focus on the fact that we are to be a help in filling the kingdom of God wherever that call is going to be. We should always set goals on talking to people about Jesus Christ. I believe we should be asking Jesus every single day, say, "Lord, would you please bring someone into my life, whether it be through work, whether it be through the grocery store, gas station." By the way, it's easy to start up a conversation nowadays at the gas station and grocery stores. Do you realize that? You get up to the counter, you're like, "Man, I can't believe I'm paying this much for this stuff." It is crazy what we're paying for in grocery stores. You can automatically start a conversation up at the gas station. "Man, I cannot believe that gas was at $4.69, $4.79 was the highest." And people are clapping and jumping up and down because it's $4.09 at some of the gas stations. $4.09 is still pretty expensive. But it's easy to start up conversations. And as God gives people in your life, pray that the doors will be open so that we can help in giving a message to the people who need it. Never lose focus that we still need to be helping fill the kingdom net. Always set goals on talking to people about Christ. And this is what it means to follow him. Judea is where Christianity began. But just because it began there didn't mean that everybody believed. So they had a responsibility even there to continue to preach the gospel of Jesus. This can be difficult because reaching your own people is very hard. There's a lot of great difficulty that comes to play here. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 4, if you would. Book of Luke, chapter number 4. Because you're not always welcome where you are from. And that's so true. And Jesus even speaks of this in verse number 23 of the book of Luke, chapter number 4. And he said unto them, verse 23, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. Verse number 24, it says this. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. There's a great difficulty when it means to going back home trying to reach the people that you are very familiar with. I believe the hometown is the most forgotten town of all. Let's be honest about this. We have two independent Baptist churches in this town. Just two of us. Now, there are other churches that are in this town. They have other beliefs that we have. They have a belief in different doctrine than we believe. But just out of the two churches that we have, I want to put this into focus here. There are about 70,000 people in this town. And between the two churches that we have here in town that preach the gospel, that I know that preaches gospel, I know there's some other churches, I'm talking doctrinally, only 3% of Council Bluffs, Iowa is being reached. 3%. That's not a very big number. Matter of fact, that's very small. That's an average around just maybe 400 people out of a town of 70,000 people that are actually being reached. So the hometown that we are from is a town that realistically is being neglected. Do we not have a great responsibility to say, Jesus, here I am, I want to follow you, and I want to reach the town that you have established me in? I want to be that light that you have called me to be the light to this community so that I can not just reach the people at my job, but I can reach my neighbors as well. Do you ever look around your neighborhood when you go to church? Do you see people getting up and leaving the same time that you do, putting on their Sunday's best so that they go and worship God? See, we got a big job to do. That isn't saying we're not doing our job, because there are some that's doing our job, and I thank God for that. What I am saying, though, it is saying that we have a big job to do. We have a big job to do. It takes a body of believers to be active in reaching the lost. It takes all of us. And I understand not everybody can go out and do those things, which is why I encourage you to go through the neighborhood. Begin to pray over the area we're going to be at. Begin to pray for the very tracts that we're going to hand out. Begin to pray for the very individuals as they come in contact with people that God gives them the exact words to say to these folks so that they can be an encouragement and so that they can give the gospel to these lost people who so desperately need it. Before we even get concerned about, whoa, I just lost everything. Don't worry, it's all right here. Maybe. Where am I at? Before we even get concerned about the rest of the world, we need to be concerned about where we live. We need to be concerned about where we live. Taking care of business in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Letting them know that there is a Jesus that loves them, and let them know that there is a Jesus that desires to be loved back by them. You know, Jesus wants your love. He so does. Mark 5, verse 19. Go ahead and turn there if you would, please. Mark 5, verse number 19. I bring this verse up for a reason tonight because I knew this verse was a verse that was used in an individual's life. It says this in verse number 19. It says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee." This is the verse that got our own pastor to come back to his hometown while he was living in Seattle, Washington, being the assistant pastor at Open Door Baptist Church there. This is the verse that spoke to his heart, and he was so convicted about this that he answered God's call. He began to follow God. He packed up his home, packed up his children, put them in the car, came back here 49 years ago this September, and began to reach the community of Council Bluffs, Iowa. Go to thy hometown. And he began to do those things. He began to start a church and begin to have ministry outreach. And people were influenced and people began to get saved. I met a man recently who was at my father's visitation. And I introduced myself to him. And actually, I would not have introduced myself to him, but Brother Ron Todd came up to me, and he already got the scoop on this individual, and he says, "Hey, Chad, you really got to go talk to this guy." And so he is sitting exactly probably where Uncle Greg is sitting tonight. And I went up there, and I began to introduce myself to him, and he told me who he was. He said he knew my father when my father was in school. He also stated this. He also stated that my father witnessed to him as well. He told me in the conversation that thrilled my soul. He says, "Finally, about 6 years ago, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." You see the importance of Scripture when it says, "Go home to thy friends." You know, when Jesus is calling us to do something, we need to be willing and we need to be wanting to follow him. Go home to thy friends. And I begin to observe this man. Just a little bit after our conversation, I saw him sitting there probably for about 10, 15 minutes, and he was probably there a lot longer than what I saw because Ron Todd had a conversation with him. I just began to watch him, and he just kept looking at my father, and I can just begin to imagine what was going through his mind. But 6 years ago, he became a believer in Jesus Christ. It's important not to forget about our hometown. It's important to deliver the message where God has called us. Dad will never know of this until they are reunited in heaven. And what a great time that's going to be. I can just see this individual. I can't think of his name, but I can just imagine as it's on my mind right now, as whether the rapture comes first or this individual or he goes in death, I can just imagine he's walking up to Gene Springer saying, hey, Brother Springer, thank you so much for answering the call when God said to go home to thy friends. Thank you for following him. Because of that, you were a witness to me, you were a testimony to me, and I accepted Christ in my later life, and now I'm in the presence of the Lord. And that's what it means to follow him. You see, when God asks us to follow him, we just need to be willing. We need to be willing. Sometimes we're not going to be going places, but we need to have a willing heart to go. And so if our pastor didn't obey the call of Jesus that day to come back home, this gentleman, eternity could have been spent in hell. But his eternity is going to be spent in heaven. The other place that we are called to go is we are called to go to Samaria. So we're Jerusalem, Judea, and now Samaria. Samaria was the capital of Israel until its fall to the Assyrians. It was condemned by the Hebrew prophets for what? For its ivory houses and luxury palaces displaying their pagan riches. This group of people had their wealth and really didn't practice any type of religion. However, the wealthy need Jesus just like the rest of the world. But the wealthy, they're going to be kind of hard to reach because in their minds, they already think, hey, man, I already have it all. I've acquired everything that I need to acquire here on earth. I got the job that I need to have that's going to give me financial stability throughout my whole entire lifetime. I don't have to worry about any type of finances because everything's just provided because I have achieved these things. And so a majority of the time, it becomes about them. And so you might think that they might be a great difficulty to reach, and I would agree with you at the same time. But however, they need Jesus Christ just like anybody else. And this is going to be a hard task for us to accomplish. For this reason, with all the wealth in the world, some believe that is all they need, and they don't think they need Jesus Christ. And this is a foolish way to think. But even with that being said, they still need to hear of Jesus. Usually, if you don't look like them, if you don't act like them, or if you even don't dress like them, the way they want you to, they don't have anything to do with you. Why, they'll look down at you, they'll look at your clothes and say, those are just rags compared to my clothes. They'll look at your home, oh, that's just a shack compared to my home. They'll look at your car, oh, that's just a Prius compared to my Cadillac, that type of a thing. And they'll look down at you, but don't let that discourage you. Let that encourage you, because they need Christ as well. The task is still the same. The job still requires us to go, no matter who it is. When trying to reach people, please keep this in your mind. John chapter 3, verse number 16 should always come to our minds as we're trying to follow Jesus into the place that he has called us to go, and that is this. No matter who it is, it says this, for God so loved the world. He didn't say, for God so loved the rich. He didn't say that. He didn't say, for God so loved the poor. He didn't say that. He didn't say, for God so loved this class of people. He didn't say that. It says, for God so loved the world. He loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son. Sure, we might get ridiculed. We might be laughed at. But this should not stop us from following Jesus. You know, I've heard of some stories of missionaries who have accepted the call of Jesus Christ to leave their families, to walk away from their good-paying jobs, to be laughed at and to be ridiculed. But despite that, they stayed true to the calling of God. They followed him to the mission field, and because of that, many souls have been saved. A lot of you folks remember Brother Herschel Case. Brother Herschel Case had a very thriving construction business. This guy did not need any money. He achieved everything that he really needed to achieve in life. But God called him away from his place of occupation, his place of security, his comfort zone that he had for a majority of his life. But God called him to a land of Australia so that he could become a missionary, so that he can give the gospel to the Australians, so that they can call upon him as the Lord and Savior. But what if Brother Herschel Case did not answer the call? There would probably be many Australians going to hell today. Do you guys know this about Brother Case? He wasn't the man, but one of his preacher friends was a man that led Steve Irwin to the Lord a year before he died. That's amazing. See, God uses people to win other people. So just because we get laughed at, because we get ridiculed, should not stop us from following Jesus. The last place to be following Jesus is to the uttermost. And what does Jesus mean by the uttermost? The uttermost means the furthest or the most extreme places that we can think of. And I'm not talking about the furthest places far across this country from where we live. I'm talking about maybe the furthest places even in our own town. The most extreme places that we would not think about even going. That's where we need to go. Once we have been successful in reaching the ones closest to us, the uttermost is often ignored because it doesn't sound very attractive, nor does it seem very convenient at times. Sometimes the uttermost can be the most unattractive places in our own town. We have those uttermost places in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Matter of fact, because of the job that I have, I can take you to probably 99.9% of the most uttermost places that you can probably think of. I've seen it. They're out there. It's in our town. But it amazes me who we don't reach because we give ourselves boundaries. We'll say, you know what, I'll go to God in my own community. I'll be a witness. I'll follow Jesus just in my own block of people. And I might even extend out. I might even go three or four other blocks away, which might be our Judea. And we might go over there and begin to sow some seed over there. And then we might move from that block, and we'll go maybe five or six more blocks, and we'll go over into Samaria, and we'll begin to do the same thing over there. But we'll forget and maybe ignore the uttermost because of the boundaries that we set. We fail to realize that people, even in the uttermost, need Jesus as well. They need Jesus as well. As a matter of fact, Jesus made a ministry of reaching these folks. The woman in Samaria at the well, she's the uttermost. Jesus made a ministry of this. And because of this, many people are in heaven today because of his outreach to them. Jesus not only practiced his hometown, Jesus didn't only practice going to Judea and Samaria, but Jesus practiced giving the gospel to the whole world. So Jesus gave us four places that he wants us to be in obedience to him when it comes to us following him. But I want to give you three things tonight, and I'll end this very quickly, that we need to consider as God calls us to follow him. And why are we following him? First of all, we're following him because we're helping him fill the kingdom net. Second of all, he wants us to follow him. Third of all, he gives us places to follow him too. So as we answer this call, wherever that may be, here's one thing that I want you to understand tonight. And you might sit there and say, Chad, I don't know how to do this. First thing, you'll never go alone. You'll never go alone. God is always with you. As I illustrated last week with some of the men who went to camp, they said they were very scared as they were trying to deal with the souls that God gave them that night. Here's the very unique thing that took place. You guys were not alone. You know how you're able to get through that? You know how you're able to give the gospel to the young men that God placed underneath you that night and throughout that week? It's because God was with you. And so as you begin to follow him, don't sit there and think, man, I got to do this alone and nobody's going to come with me. No, Jesus is with you. Take comfort in that. And two, as we begin to follow him and recognize that we'll never be alone, understand this. God will always give us the equipment that we need. See, we can't use excuses. Moses began to use his own speech as an excuse not to do the will of God. But what did God do? God gave him the speech. God gave him the ability to do what he needed to do. God will always equip you as you begin to follow him. He'll give you the discernment that you need to have. He'll give you the ability that you need to have during those times. He will equip you. And third is this. He blesses our path as we follow him. See, God's not going to call us to a place where there's nobody that's going to receive the gospel. God's calling us to a place where people need the gospel. And he's going to bless that path as we continue to follow him. And that's what God wants. He's called us all. It's not just up to the missionaries. It's not just up to the evangelists or the preachers or the pastors or the Sunday school teachers. God has called every single one of us to help fill the kingdom net. He wants us to follow him. He's given us four directions, four places, and where we are to follow him. Now we must have a willing heart to say, okay, Lord, you've called, I've answered. I don't have the necessary means to do this. Lord, you know of my situation. God will provide. God will always bless. And I know that to be true in my own life. I remember 3 years ago when I had the first chance to go to Israel, and it came out of nowhere. Came in December. We're leaving in April. I had to have a visa. That takes months to get those at times. I got that rather quickly. I didn't have the finances for that. Matter of fact, when that first happened, I said no. I don't have the finances. And 24 hours later, I gave them a call back saying, okay, I'm going to go. I believe God wants to do this. Within 4 days, I had the whole entire thing paid for. Within 4 days. See, God wants you to be willing. And once you're willing, God will take care of the rest. God will bless you. God will equip you. We just have to follow. Amen? Well, let's stand and have a word of prayer. I got you out 10 minutes early tonight, so that you can get to La Mesa or Godfather's or McDonald's, wherever you want to go to eat, or even if it's at home. So let's have a word of prayer and enjoy each other's fellowship for the next few moments. Lord, we are grateful that we're able to be here tonight. Lord, I pray tonight, as we have all been commissioned to take up the call that you have called us to and begin to follow you into areas where it seems, Lord, it might seem difficult at times. It might seem like it's impossible. But God, with you, everything is possible. You will overcome all difficulties that will come our way. But God, I pray that you would just allow us to be willing just to follow you, to be able to be a servant, to be used by you, to be able to share the gospel that was shared with us, so that not only us, not only we will have eternal life, but the ones that don't have it right now can. And so God, what a tremendous responsibility we have. What a tremendous job we have. Lord, as I made mention, only 3% of our town, as of right now, that I can really think of are being reached. And so, Lord, what a great task. So, Lord, I pray for the equipment to come our way. I pray for the ability to go to places, and I pray for the souls that we come in contact with, even this coming Saturday, that, Lord, through it all, people will come to know you as Lord and Savior. We thank you tonight. Bless us as we go away from here. Keep us safe throughout this week from the heat that's coming about us. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen.